Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. Before we talk about anything, I first have to say that I am so excited that Emily's new book, He is Strong, is finally on shelves. Whether you feel overwhelmed, overlooked, or weakness feels prevalent in every area of your life, this devotional is for you. It includes scripture-filled reflections written to meet you with the hope of the gospel and the love of Christ in every shortcoming and hardship. You can find He is Strong anywhere books are sold or head to risenmotherhood.com/books to learn more. Okay, let's talk a little bit about today's show. Today, Emily is being joined by our friend, Amy Gannett. She's the founder of Tiny Theologians and the host of the Tiny Theologians podcast. Amy is a writer and Bible teacher who is passionate about equipping Christians to study the Bible through the Bible Study Schoolhouse. Amy and her husband, Austin, have two sweet girls and are church planners in Eastern North Carolina. To learn more about Amy and follow her on social media, head to our show notes. Okay, let's get to the conversation with Emily and Amy. All right. So Amy, welcome to Risen Motherhood. I am so excited that we get to chat. It's just always so fun whenever Laura and I get to bring kind of like our in real life online friends. I hope people know what that means. I think you and I know what that means, but onto the podcast and kind of let those conversations overflow. So welcome. And I was just wondering as we get started, if you would tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what are kind of some of the callings that God has on your life right now and what's on your plate in this season?
Oh, Emily, it is so fun to be here. We could probably rename this podcast episode like Iowa Hype Girls because being from Iowa myself,
I always forget.
I feel
that.
Like I know every time Laura and I talk too, we're like, oh yeah, you're from Iowa too.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, Iowa girls unite. Come on. Iowa is the best state, I feel like. But I wear, probably like most women listening to this, I wear a lot of hats. I'm a wife to Austin, who is my best friend that I met in seminary. I'm mom to two little girls. Austin and I are church planters in our city, which is Greenville, North Carolina. And I'm the founder of Tiny Theologians, where my team and I create discipleship resources for kids. And I'm the founder of the Bible Study Schoolhouse, where I teach women how to study the Bible and grow in being theologians.
Wow. Just, you are so faithful in the work that God has called you to in all of these different areas. And I know I'm not on the front lines of seeing you like as a wife and a mom and a church planter, but I can see from online that you just love so well in the midst of those. And it's been so fun to watch you grow in your journey with Tiny Theologians over the years and just the ministry that you're doing on social media. I mean, I know we've been sharing Tiny Theologians resources with our community for years and years and years. And like our local church children's ministry has used your resources over and over again. So thank you for your faithfulness in that. But in the midst of all the things and all the faithfulness, I am confident because you are a mom, that you have also felt weakness and lack in the midst of your motherhood, because
oh,
we all
yes.
do, no matter how good it looks on the outside, no matter how it may seem to other people that we have kind of all of our ducks in a row, we are all lacking something. And so just kind of in the spirit of relatability, so we all know we're on the same page here, what are some areas of motherhood where you have felt like you're lacking and just have felt weak?
Oh man, I feel weak in so many areas, Emily. I think there's sort of a superficial answer to this, or maybe like a first answer to this. My mind initially rushes to all the ways that I compare myself with other moms online. And I look at influencers and mommy bloggers, and I think what I lack in comparison to them is I'm not the fun mom, and I lack the resources to get my kids all the toys that will make summer so great. And I lack the ability to dress them in aesthetically pleasing ways. So like there's the initial, my gut answer, all the ways I feel insufficient. But if I dig deeper, I know that I feel weak in some really important ways, some really essential ways. And the first is I feel weak and I lack eternal perspective in the heat of parenting moments. And what I mean is this: we've probably all had that moment where the day may not have gone as we expected, and the toddler had tantrums and you didn't respond to those tantrums the way you wanted to. Maybe you as a mom had a tantrum also, and everything, the day finally gets to an end. The kids are finally asleep and you lay in bed and you look at the monitor and you see your sleeping little babies, and all of a sudden your brain is able and your heart is able to do this thing that you couldn't do otherwise. You see this like big picture perspective. You're sort of like, gosh, being a mom is a privilege. Being a mom is a joy. Sharing the gospel with my kids is such a holy burden and such a gift and a privilege. But I lack that eternal perspective in the heat of the moment. When I'm correcting my child for her tantrum, I feel really weak in drawing my heart and mind up to what is most important, to the gospel perspective. So I feel really weak in that area. And then the second area that I feel weak is I lack the grace that is required to point my girls to Jesus in every moment. My life feels really full and really busy, probably like most moms. And I think it's grace that pulls us back to making lunchtime about the gospel, our car ride to the store about the gospel, our trip through the checkout at the grocery store about the gospel. It takes grace to do that. And I very often lack that because my brain is going, these are all the tasks that have to get done. Here are all the places we need to go. And we're running late. And oh, the baby's late for her nap again. And all of those things. But it takes grace to pull ourselves out and to disciple our kids in everyday kinds of ways. And that grace is an area that I just feel so weak often. I feel my arms feel limp. My heart feels heavy when I think about those areas of lack.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being just so candid with us, because I think you're right on just our gut instant reaction is a lot of things that relate to comparison. And boy, I can name dozens of those things right off the top of my head where I feel like, and I should be doing this in motherhood and I don't do good enough at that. And wow, look at what that mom is providing. But I also love that you brought it down deep down as moms, like at the end of the day, if we are following Christ, I think there can be that real frustration with ourselves that we aren't mothering the way we ought, right? The way that God kind of designed it initially, that we would be life givers in all things and point to him in all things and always be looking for ways to give thanks and to rejoice and to share with our children about who he is and what he's doing. Like, right, there's things that we do that are kind of overt that can be seen. And then there's things that we do that just miss the mark, right? That we don't do what we could have done. And even in that, we feel our lack when we're like, I missed an opportunity to tell our kids about God. I missed an opportunity to pray. I missed an opportunity to share about the gospel in that. And those things can be so, so weighty, you know? And it's a weight in a different way because we know that it has eternal implications and that we have a very special relationship with our children. And so I think one of the things we're excited to do in this series and why I'm grateful that you're on today to talk about is like, what do we do when we notice the weight of that and our inability, our insufficiency to be and do all that we should, all that we could, all that we ought in motherhood for Christ? And so when it comes to depending on God for his sufficiency and his abundance, I would love it if you could just start by taking us to scripture and maybe point us to a couple of passages that help us understand what it looks like for Christ to be sufficient where we are lacking and where we are not fully sufficient.
What a great question. And a reminder that scripture really does speak to all of the very practical things of motherhood. I think a lot of times we approach scripture as if it is something for our brains and maybe something for our hearts, but not for our days. And scripture is for our whole lives. It feeds our minds, it pricks our hearts and our consciences, but it also meets us where we are at the kitchen sink, which is why the ministry of Risen Motherhood is so vital, to remind us as moms that God is involved in all of these very daily aspects of mothering. The scripture that comes to mind when I think about being sufficient and about the sufficiency of Christ in and over and against our own sufficiency is 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. And I'd love to read it for us. It says this, and it's Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He writes this: such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we're sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient. What for? Who has made us sufficient to do what? To be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, the original hearers, the original recipients of this letter, the Corinthian church, probably could not have named someone more proficient than the Apostle Paul. He has this litany of reasons why he should be called. He was called a Jew among the Jews. He's an apostle for good reasons. He met Jesus and converted. I mean, he has followed the letter of the law to the T. And now he is bearing witness to the name of Jesus in all of these regions to which he has been sent. They can name, very likely, the Corinthian church could name no one more proficient for the gospel than Paul. And Paul is specifically saying, we are not sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Now, if we were to look up this word for sufficiency, in the original language, okay, we're going to get nerdy just for 1 second.
I'm excited. I'm on the edge of my seat,
okay.
Amy.
let's get nerdy with scripture just for a second. So the Greek word here is hekanos, and it is a word for sufficiency. And when we see it in the rest of scripture, everywhere else that it's used to simply mean it is enough. There is enough. You know, like if you were to fill up a water glass, it would be full. You know, it's enough. It's sufficient. And Paul is saying we are not enough in and of ourselves to claim anything coming from us. Any work, any ministry, anything does not come from us. But our enoughness, our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. And I want to talk about what that second half means. But I think this first half of the verse, not that we are sufficient in and of ourselves to claim anything that's coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. This message flies in the face of a cultural mantra regarding motherhood. If you want to find consolation for your conscience on a tough mothering day, you can pop open TikTok, you can pop open Instagram, you can pop open Threads, and you will get a litany of other parents saying, you are enough. You can do this. You have everything that you need to parent. You are enough. You've done enough. And they'll cheer you on with this mantra of being enough. And scripture actually is protesting this message that we have any sort of enoughness in and of ourselves. Paul is specifically saying we are not sufficient. We are not enough in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our enoughness, our sufficiency is from God. And this is where the second half of this verse becomes really important. This first half gives the second half its meaning. We are not enough, but God is enough within us. And then Paul goes on to say, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And here Paul is talking about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. So the Mosaic covenant and the new covenant that has arrived in Christ. And the new covenant that he's talking about is the gospel, this gospel message. And the gospel says, unlike the Mosaic covenant, it says, we bring nothing to the table of salvation. We don't bring our proficiency in obedience. We don't bring our ability to comply. We don't bring a litany of trophies, of spiritual accolades. we don't bring any abilities to the table of salvation. We bring nothing but our sin and a desire to be saved by God. And God in his grace fills it up. He makes it enough. This is the message of the gospel, because Jesus died and rose again. He is enough to save us both in eternity and save us now. He actually bears new life by his spirit within us. And so it makes sense that Paul is actually commissioning the Corinthian church and us today into this gospel ministry through the sufficiency of Christ. He's saying, what does it take to be ministers of the new covenant, but to enact the gospel, to live out the gospel, to practice the gospel in our everyday ways? And this is where, as a mom, it touches down for me. It touches down in my everyday life, because I can theologically think, yeah, God is enough. I didn't save myself. I don't have any spiritual accolades or, you know, impressive awards or titles behind my name. Sure, I can understand my sufficiency comes from God, but what is the ministry he's commissioned us into? And it's the ministry of the new covenant, this ministry of the gospel. Who has God placed in my life to be a minister of the gospel to? My children. And what it takes, God is sufficient for us, and he is going to make us sufficient for this ministry. Now, the ministry of the new covenant, if it's a ministry of the gospel, what's our role in it? What do we bring to the table? Nothing but our weakness and our sin and our need for a savior. And so as we live out 2 Corinthians 3:4-6 in our own lives, our role is to be on our knees, confessing our sin, relying upon Jesus. And this is where it gets painstaking for so many of us as mothers. Doing this in front of our children where appropriate and where we're able to say to our kids, I lost my cool. I raised my voice. We don't raise our voice in our family. I am sorry. Will you please forgive me? Or we say to our kids, I notice that you are having a really hard time being patient right now. And I am having a very hard time being patient with you right now. We can't be patient on our own. We both need God's help. We are not sufficient. But God is sufficient. Let's ask him together for the help that we need. So we get to enact this gospel message in our parenting as we confess our sins, rely upon Christ, and do this wherever appropriate in front of our kids in ways that show them, no, mom's not the hero. Mom's not the superhero of the family. Mom doesn't get it all done. What is mom's deepest need? It's Jesus. And that's going to be the way that we minister to them the gospel, because what is their deepest need? It's Jesus.
Thanks for breaking all of that down for us, Amy. I think I love how you took a passage that most people would not connect to motherhood and showed how it does connect to the very real, tangible things that we're doing. Because sometimes when we go to the Word and we're going, oh, I'm really stressed right now, and I just want kind of one little nugget of encouragement to get me through my day, and we're not finding anything that is addressing snack time, and we're not finding anything that is addressing comparison on social media or whatever it is. And then you walk away discouraged, and it just shows the importance of really reading and getting the Word of God under your skin and understanding it in context so that you can be encouraged by the deep truths that God is communicating in his Word, by the principles of Scripture. And you can understand how it connects to the struggle that you're facing, which is, okay, I am feeling weak and insufficient as a mom, but God does this. And I am just continually encouraged when I remember that I can like restart over and over and over again by God's grace, right? That there is not, okay, so what? So I've gone a day, or I've gone a week, or we've gone months, and we're not being consistent in family devotions, and I'm not praying as much as I want to with them, and I'm not sharing about Christ. Like, I love that Christ's sufficiency in this verse acknowledges that, like, that's not that shocking. And I should expect that these moments are going to happen, but also I'm not stuck in that. And I don't have to wait until I kind of pull myself together and get my life together and become a better version of myself, even spiritually, before I turn to the Lord, right? It means that the second he lays that conviction on my heart, I can go, whoop, yep, again, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I need your strength and your help in this. And then we get to walk forward knowing that, you know, God never left in that season, you know? And I just need that as a mom in my own weakness and to even share that with our children. Like, yeah, in our day-to-day, when we didn't talk about or acknowledge or rejoice or thank God as much as we really could have and should have, Christ was still enough for us in that moment. And then when I turn around and put work into my faith, it is coming from a heart of gratitude of knowing, like you said, I'm already starting from that cup full, I am enough perspective and not, uh-oh, I'm down here, my bar is really low, I better start to inch my way back up again so that I can be holy. I think that just changes everything and it really takes the burden off. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. And I want to kind of talk and drill down more into that because going back to the beginning of this episode, talking about the weight that a mom feels when she sees her insufficiency, I mean, help us think even more about how Christ's sufficiency takes like that performance pressure off of a mom and even propel her towards enjoying motherhood more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the last two little phrases of this verse that we didn't get to in depth, but I think it speaks a lot to how we can set ourselves free by the power of the Spirit and by the truth of God's word, how we can let ourselves off the hook to enjoy motherhood. We mentioned comparison and feeling like you don't measure up is a big part of what steals my joy, at least when I sit in the backyard with a blow up pool with my kids and I think, gosh, you know, all of the people I know on the internet have their own pool in their backyard, which of course is just so wildly untrue. but it feels like everybody has these aesthetic backyards. And, you know, I'm looking at this blow up pool that my kids are playing in, and I feel like I don't measure up. It's actually pointing out a bigger reality to us. I think we would serve ourselves well that when we have that I don't measure up feeling, to instead of pushing it away and saying, no, I do have it, I am enough, which is the cultural mantra that we already sort of debunked, right? Instead of pushing it away, let's sit in that for a minute and say, actually, I don't measure up. The gospel has actually proclaimed to me already, I don't measure up. But my sufficiency comes from Christ, and He has filled me up. He is more than enough for me. And so we actually don't have to measure up. We don't have to be the mom that is always doing family devotionals at lunchtime, if that's what we feel like we should be doing. You know, we don't have to be that mom. Maybe the Lord's calling us to a different discipleship routine or rhythm. If we feel like we are not the mom that's doing all the fun stuff with our kids, well, guess what? I'm let off the hook of having to be enough and do enough because you know what? I am not enough. And that's actually proclaiming gospel truth to me. We can let these seemingly silly insecurities over whether or not everybody on Instagram has a backyard pool or something actually ease us into the gospel, bring us back around and say, actually, I am insufficient in bigger spiritual ways. And Jesus has seen it fit that all of the inheritance of Christ is mine as I am found in Jesus. And that actually will rest us in the goodness of the gospel. And when we take that to-do list off our to-do list, when we take the agenda of the world off our agenda, we actually find ourselves not only enjoying our children more, which is wonderful. It's wonderful to enjoy our children and our role as mothers more, but we're actually going to find ourselves enjoying Christ more. And there is no greater joy, Emily, you know this. There is no greater joy than walking with Jesus. There is just nothing in my life that compares to it than the intimacy I have from knowing the risen Lord as my Savior. And I think Paul knew this well, which is why he said the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. He's actually referencing back to the Old Testament law and saying, we never measured up. We could never have kept the laws of God on our own. The spirit is where the life is. Jesus is where there is true and lasting life. Paul actually goes on to write in the same letter to the same church, to the same Corinthians. We were just talking about chapter 3 and just a couple chapters later in chapter 12. He's talking about his own personal intimate walk with the Lord. And he's talking about his own personal struggles. He's been given what he calls a thorn in his flesh. He says, there's something that is just irksome to me. And it feels like a thorn. Like every time I take a step, I'm reminded that I have this area of weakness. And as a mom, I can relate to that. Every time I move in motherhood, I am reminded I have these areas of weakness. And he's talking, he's reflecting on his own personal walk with Jesus. And he says, but he, God, you know, the Spirit said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, that's why, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest in me. So when we're reminded of our weaknesses, we actually can thank the Lord that he has seen it fit to give us such limits so that we run up against them and we run to the arms of Jesus. We can, like Paul, every time we feel that wince of pain from whatever the thorn is in our flesh, whether it's a physical ailment like it was for Paul, whether it's a financial limitation, whether it's an energy limitation, a physical illness, a spiritual malady that you want to grow out of. Maybe you're impatient, maybe you're impulsive, maybe you're wrestling through anger or you're wrestling through discontentment, whatever that is, we can welcome those reminders of our weaknesses because they cast us upon our reliance on Jesus, who alone is sufficient. So in a way, we say like Paul, thank you for these reminders that I am not enough in myself, because otherwise I would forget my need for Jesus and I would forget how glorious it is to walk with him. So I think in motherhood, do we want to enjoy motherhood more? We actually get the joy of saying there is nothing greater in life. There is nothing greater in this entire world. Search every corner you want. Millionaires, billionaires, they've searched every corner they want. The most proficient people we can name, the top celebrities, everyone can search everywhere they want. And I will go to my grave saying, there is nothing that satisfies like Jesus. There is no joy like walking with him. There is nothing better. So if we want to enjoy motherhood more, we actually get the privilege of saying, I'm going to enjoy Jesus and all of these reminders that thrust me in faith upon him. And in doing so, I know personally, we are going to enjoy our role as mothers so much more and our kids so much more because we've gotten the first thing first. We've gotten things right with Jesus, and he is going to give us everything we need to be ministers of this new covenant to the little ones in our lives.
Oh man, what an incredible upside down truth that is, that if we want to enjoy motherhood more, we actually need to enjoy Christ more. And that there isn't life in motherhood, there's life in Christ, and that overflows in our motherhood. And I just think it is so easy for us as moms to get that backwards. And the minute that we're feeling weak and we're feeling insufficient and we're seeing that thorn, that thing that just, oh, we're so sick and tired of whatever that thing is, that I know my mind, like I instantly go to, how can I fix that? How can I correct that? How can I pay for that? How can I get that out of my life? Instead of kind of my first reaction being, I need to take that to the Lord. I need to take that to the Lord again and again and again and look expectantly, wait and watch and trust in faith that he's going to work in and through that. And as I enjoy the Lord, as I enjoy Christ, that's going to spill out into other areas of my life. And I think too, just this idea that the pressure, and I love how you touched on this, the pressure really comes off when it's also not up to us to like pay it back or something. And it just gives that instant freedom to know, like, I can start appreciating, enjoying, living the actual motherhood that God gave me with thanksgiving right now. I don't have to beat myself up for 2 days and then start enjoying motherhood again. I don't have to punish myself or withhold something from myself in order to like instantly get right back on track with Jesus and be appreciating the friendship that I have with God. And boy, that is really hard. And yet I think about how many moments I have missed in motherhood with my own sour, discontent attitude because I wanted to kind of like roll around in the mud another few more minutes and just kind of be like, woe is me. And here I go again. Here's my pity party because I'm just so bad at X, Y, and Z. And to go, he's not asking that of us. Just come to him and know that his grace really is enough, that there is not need for that. And boy, like what you're saying, how much does that free us up to just receive what God is doing in our lives, not in another mom's life, not in the life we wish we had, but in the motherhood we actually have. And to know, yeah, I can trust him with what he's doing here. And it's okay if it doesn't look like her life. And I don't have to beat myself up for that. I don't have to beat myself up for my limits. I mean, I just think it's, you know, this is a food analogy, but I think it's something that we can kind of tangibly understand. Where sometimes, like, if I've eaten, like, a really big meal at a holiday, my inclination, like, the next morning for breakfast is, like, why don't I just, like, skip breakfast to, like, make up for what I did last night? Or, you know, you kind of, you play these weird games. I may be the only person who does this. I don't think so. But you play these weird games with yourself. And it's just so helpful. I was talking to a nutritionist recently that was, like, just get right back on track the next meal. Like, you are further messing with your nutrition when you then skip breakfast. Like, you are just continuing the cycle. Just as soon as you've done that, go, okay, that happened. Now I'm right back on track with like healthy, nourishing foods. You don't have to punish yourself for that or whatever that is. And I think as moms, like that's true as well when we're in Christ.
Because our temptation is to sort of, like you said, wallow in it. We just want more time before we come to Christ. And really, I think what's underneath it, at least for me, and I would venture a guess underneath it for many of us, is that we sort of either want enough time to feel bad about our weaknesses so that maybe we think God's going to feel more bad for us. It like will evoke his pity and he'll receive us differently than he would have otherwise. Or we want to prove that we actually can do it. So we look up a series of like life hacks and mom hacks, and we try to hack it so that we actually can make up for our weaknesses without acknowledging our weaknesses. Instead, Jesus made the way to God open for us through his death and resurrection. We actually have this radical welcome of God. And the longer we stay away, the longer we try to do it in our own strength, we are missing out on the communion that comes from running to Jesus in our weaknesses, with our weaknesses. So my hope for myself and for all of us as moms is that when we're reminded of our weaknesses, like Paul, we say, I'm actually thankful for my weaknesses because they thrust me into deeper communion with Christ. Because what do I do when I'm reminded of my weaknesses? I'm reminded of his all-surpassing power. I'm reminded of his sufficiency. And I'm pushed back into gratitude and reliance and dependence and humility. All of these things that limits should evoke within us, they push us towards Christ deeper into the life of Christ. And I think, Emily, what you said about meal tracking, I think that's so many of our impulses is like, we're going to make it up first before we, to make ourselves feel better or to make it seem as though we'll pay the debt in and of ourselves. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we could never have paid the debt and Jesus paid it on our behalf. And so that actually gets to sink into all these different places of our hearts and lives, including motherhood, including our relationship with food, including our relationship with summer activities or fall curriculum or whatever it is, wherever those weaknesses are, so is Christ.
So as we close here, Amy, I mean, we've had so many big concepts, like incredible encouragement from scripture, reminders of who Christ is. You know, if there is a mom listening, I'm sure there is, that is still feeling like, gosh, I'm just not sure if Christ is going to be enough for me. I mean, Amy and Emily don't understand what I'm struggling with. I'm really, really, really bad, or I'm really, really tired, or I'm really, really going through a deep season of grief. What would you say to that mom to encourage her?
I'll first say I have been there. You know, I'm a Bible school and seminary grad. I have 7 years of formal theological education, and I have been there since my time in seminary. This isn't like a pre-Jesus story. It's like a post-Jesus story. I have times in my life where I'm like, I don't know that he's going to cut it this time. My needs seem too big. My habits seem too formed. My spirit seems too languid. Like there are times that I feel this in my own bones. So I would first say, gosh, I understand that feeling. I know that feeling personally. But I will also say, having walked with Jesus, that Jesus is worth his salt. Like, you can try him out on this. You may wonder if Jesus is sufficient, but when you actually place your reliance on him, he is worth his salt. He will never disappoint you. When you depend on him, he will never prove himself to be not dependable. So for those of us that have seasons where we go, I don't know that he's trustworthy this time, the only way we will actually know is by choosing to place our trust in him. There are times that we sort of, you know, you've probably heard the analogy of a chair, like you sit in a chair because you trust it to hold you and you don't actually think like, is that chair trustworthy? But there are times that I've looked at chairs and been like, is that chair trustworthy? Is it going to hold me up? You know, my daughter is always asking me to get on the swing with her in our backyard. We have this, you know, little tiny wood swing set. And every once in a while, she's like, can we both swing? Like, can you get on and can I get on your lap? And I'm like, what, Austin? I'm like hollering to my husband, Austin, when's this rated out again? Because it's supposed to hold an adult and a child. I'm just not totally sure. But the only way I would ever find out is if I put her on my lap and got on that swing. And so for the mom who isn't sure if Christ is going to be enough, I will just testify from the other side of asking that question, from the other side of getting on the swing, from the other side of choosing to depend on Christ when I wasn't sure how dependable he would be. He is worth his salt. He has never, ever let me down. He has never, ever proven himself to not be dependable. So if you are wondering, I guess my challenge and my encouragement is to give it a try. Trust him to be sufficient, and let your own version in your mind of measuring up fade away for a while. Just go ahead and give it a try and see. I think you'll see just life is so much better when we rest fully in the goodness of God and in the goodness of the gospel.
I love how you said, just let your own version of measuring up fade away for a little while. And we would do well in motherhood to let that fade away and behold Christ and keep looking at him and to him more and more, and recognize that it's not about measuring up to what other moms are doing. And we're not going to be able to measure up to, you know, God's perfect design for us as a mother. And he's not asking us to, because he's given us Christ. So thank you for all of that truth that you shared with us today, Amy. And we loved having you on.
I love being here, Em.
My name is Rebecca, and I am part of the Risen Motherhood community, because there's no other place where I can find content created so specifically for my current stage of life. I'm a mom of two, and every day is crazy. And the content that I find on Risen Motherhood helps me find peace in the midst of chaos.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.